This week's Sicha is definitely going to require a lot of focus and attention. It is quite in-depth, a pilpul, an analysis of an halachic principle that is derived from the parasha this week and relates to practical halacha on Pesach. It's all based on the Yerushalmi in the 10th chapter of the Talmud Yerushalmi Psochim, in the first section, where it says, Isab Yerushalmi, Minayin ledalat koisois, from where do we know, remez min ha-Torah, at some hint in the Torah to the fact that you're supposed to drink 4 cups of wine on Pesach night. So Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Naya k'neged dalat ge'ulois. So the first opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan, says that it's to correspond to the 4 expressions of gula, redemption, as the Meforshim, they say, l'shoyne shagula shuska b'pasha k'shin isbasa al gulas mitzrayim. It's the 4 expressions that Hashem used, which are essentially in this week's parasha, to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that there's going to be a geula. Lochen emer goymer v'hitzeisi goymer v'hitzalti goymer v'ga'alti goymer v'lakachti goymer. As we very well know, those 4 words of geula, I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, and I will take you to me. Those are the 4 expressions of geula, from which we learn that there are 4 cups of wine that you're supposed to drink at the Pesach Seder. Then the Gemara there continues, v'oitamim nemrusham, with various other reasons why there could be an explanation for the 4 cups. Rabbi Shimon Levi says they correspond to the 4 cups in the dream of the royal butler, where he poured these 4 cups for Paroi. That's where you get 4 cups of wine. Rabbi Levi says the 4 cups of wine represent the 4 major empires that persecuted the Jewish people over the course of our history. And the Rabbanan say that there's a principle that in the time of Mashiach, Hashem will, so to speak, pour 4 cups of malady, of calamity on the nations of the world, and corresponding to that, 4 cups of comfort for the Jewish nation. So we see that there's a primary reason based on the expressions of Geula with regards to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then there are various other reasons as well. And we're going to see that there's obviously a clear distinction between them. But Pashtus, simply the distinction between them should be, the very obvious distinction between all the other explanations that are given and the first explanation by Rabbi Yochanan is, if I talk about the cups that of Paro's battler's dream, or I speak about the 4 empires, or I speak about what's going to happen in time of Mashiach, it doesn't have a direct correlation to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whereas Mashenkin Latan Kineged Dalet Geulois, Hare Dalet Akoisus Hemzechal Elishoina Shel Geula. Whereas if I go with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, there's a very clear connection between 4 cups of wine at the Pesach Seder, a time where we recall the Exodus from Egypt, and the story of the Exodus from Egypt. So straight away we can see that that's obviously our primary focus, and of course, as we're about to see, that theme must express itself in the way we drink those glasses of wine. So depending on which reason I see as the primary reason to have 4 cups of wine at the Pesach Seder, it will actually have a practical application in halacha, which we'll unpack in the course of this sicha. Or the hektem, by way of introduction to that distinction in halacha. The Alter Rebbe writes in his Shulchan Aruch, when he discusses the halacha of leaning. So we know that a big part of the Pesach Seder is that you're supposed to lean to the left at certain points in the Pesach Seder. So discussing that halacha of leaning, the Alter Rebbe says as follows. The Alter Rebbe identifies that you are required to lean to the left when you eat the original piece of matzah, when you eat the korech sandwich, which is the matzah and maror together, when you eat afikoman at the end of the Seder, and when you drink each of the 4 cups of wine. That is when you are required to lean. Why? Because these things are the elements of the Seder that are specifically designed to remind us of geula, of freedom. So that's really important information for us for the course of the sicha, that those times that we eat matzah and those times that we drink wine are specifically to remind us of geula, the redemption, and chayrus, the fact that we are free. Shehadalet koisois, to be more specific, tikna chachamim k'neged dalet d'shoinen shel geula ha'amurim b'parashas v'eira. Just to be absolutely clear, the Alter Rebbe says, because the reason we have the 4 cups of wine at the Seder is, like the first opinion in the Yerushalmi, because it reminds us of the four expressions of Geula that Hashem used in Parashas Va'era. So the Alter Rebbe specifies in Parashas Va'era, what are those expressions? V'hoitzeisi, v'go'alti, v'lokachti, v'hitzalti, chule, the four expressions. V'fichach heim tzrichin hasibo derech eros, therefore the four cups of wine, specifically, have to be had when you're leaning to your left to illustrate that sense of freedom. And then he says, Aval k'sha'ar kol ha'su'udah, im rotze lechol v'lishtois b'loy hasibo, rishus b'yodri chule. But if any other part of the meal you choose to eat without leaning to the left, gesunta heit. However, if you chose to lean throughout the entire meal, that would be a better way to perform the mitzvah. Mitzvah min ha-mufchar would be amazing and you'd be praiseworthy. So it's quite interesting. You don't have to lean other than the matzah and the wine. But if you do lean, it sounds like a good thing. So misignal shayin mukhach shekavanos levoritam asiba nitzrachas bedalet dvorim eilu. So on the face of it, the Alter Rebbe is explaining why we need to lean to the left on these four occasions: matzah, koirech, afikoymen, and the four cups of wine. And explains v'hainu mishum shehim zeichel ligula v'cheros v'fichem tzichem asibo derech cheros. And he makes it very clear that all of these are elements that represent redemption and freedom, which is why you have to lean as a sign of freedom. So it seems all pretty clear, except that there are a number of questions that we have to address when we look at what the Alter Rebbe has written here. Tzorech lohavin. Question number one is, prior to this particular paragraph that we've just read, the Alter Rebbe already spoke about the principle of leaning earlier, a few se'ifim, a few paragraphs earlier. The siman zeh b'sif koyde, well, the previous se'if. Kvar bir tam ma'asibo, the Alter Rebbe already explained in the previous paragraph why we lean to the left. That you should lean to the left. So the Alter Rebbe says we have a personal obligation. It's almost identical words to the Rambam. Personal obligation on this night of Pesach to indicate that we are free people, as if we personally left Mitzrayim at this time. For which reason we have to do all kinds of things on the night of Pesach that illustrate that freedom, that liberation that we've experienced. So, lefi zeh, areinu nizkukim netzinas tam lo matzorich lo aseh b'shas achilas hakezayis v'chule, which raises a question. If the Alter Rebbe in the previous paragraph already told us that there's this overarching theme of leaning during the meal and doing other things to indicate that we are free, why in this paragraph does the Alter Rebbe have to explain to us why we need to lean for the matzah and the wine as a sign of freedom? He's already explained this. If anything, once the Alter Rebbe has given us an overriding principle which says you should show freedom and liberation in everything that you do this night, instead of saying, therefore you have to lean for the matzah and the wine, he should have said an explanation for why you don't have to lean through the entire meal. Now, the same question could be posed on the Rambam, because the Rambam's language usage is almost identical to the Alter Rebbe. We're going to focus on the Alter Rebbe, but throughout the course of the Sicha, in the notes at the bottom, the Rebbe also makes references to how similar questions could rise against on the Rambam's commentary. So the question over here is, if the Alter Rebbe already told us that the theme of Pesach is a theme of freedom, and so throughout the Seder you should be illustrating that freedom, why do you now have to specify, and that means when you have matzah and wine? Why don't you rather say, and that means that in spite of the fact that the theme is freedom, during the rest of the meal it's not the end of the world if you don't lean and express that freedom? Question two. Lama kosav admar azokin shadant l'shoni shagula amurim v'parashas vo'era v'harei ein dark l'tzayim bifnim ha-shuchnorach mekayim ha-psukim shemevi. Why does the Alter Rebbe have to emphasize for us that the four expressions of Geula, redemption, are specifically from Parashas Va'era? That's not common. The Alter Rebbe usually does not quote sources inside the actual Shulchan Aruch. He puts notes on the side. So why now do we need to know specifically that these expressions of Geula come from Va'era? And then the third question, which you probably thought of actually as we were going through this, is I think it's fair to say that all of us, when we think of the four expressions of Geula, we think of them in a particular order, the order in which they appear in the parasha of Va'era, which is Vayitzeis v'itzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti. And even in the Gemara, it's brought that way, in the Yerushalmi that we've just referred to. So, why did the Alter Rebbe list them in an unusual order? Because he says, which is a strange order. It's different to the order of the Tanakh and every other reference. Why did the Alter Rebbe do that? So, in order to understand this, these diyukim, these details within the Alter Rebbe, really what we have to look at is an understanding, an halachic understanding of what exactly are the parameters of the requirement to lean during the course of the Pesach Seder, and of course specifically when we eat matzah and drink wine. So, Yevon, we're going to focus now on specifically eating matzah, because that of course is a Torah obligation, and from that we'll get to understand a little bit more about the principle of leaning to the left. So in order to understand this, we have to appreciate that the concept of leaning on Pesach could be an halacha that expresses in one of two ways. And we have to determine which of the two ways is the way we want to understand this halacha. So, one possibility, Aleph. One possibility is that there's no independent mitzvah to lean when you have matzah and wine. It's a detail within the mitzvah. So there's a Torah mitzvah that says you have to have matzah. So part of that mitzvah includes leaning to the left. There's a rabbinic mitzvah to have four cups of wine. Part of that mitzvah is leaning to the left. So in the same way as there's a certain quantity of wine and a certain quantity of matzah you have to have, there's a certain quality of matzah and wine that you have to have, ideally red wine. It's supposed to be the best wine that you can get. The matzah is supposed to obviously be not matzah ashira, it doesn't have other ingredients, just flour and water. So there are all kinds of laws around what kind of matzah and wine qualifies in order to fulfill the mitzvahs at the Seder. So one of those laws is how you position yourself, what posture you use when you have the matzah and wine. So that's one possibility. Leaning to the left is an halachic detail within the mitzvah of matzah and within the mitzvah of wine. One possibility. The other possibility is, beis, hasibo hi mitzvah klolis bifnei atzmo. Ha'adam tzorich laharis b'lil pesach anhoga derech cheirus marazel al-idei hasibo. Or alternatively, there's an independent mitzvah that has nothing to do with matzah and wine, which is that on the night of Pesach, you have to exhibit the sense of freedom. And how do you do that? By leaning to the left. Bachila al-idei asiba, uvishtia al-idei asiba. Specifically, when you eat, you lean to the left. When you drink, you lean to the left. Now, technically, eino yoitze yedei chivose shel hasibo ki'im ba'achilas k'zayis matzah shtiyas dalet k'yisus v'chulei. So, yisem merish achilas shtiyozei ha'im protim mitzvah hasiba. Technically, the only way you practically fulfill the mitzvah of leaning is if you do it when you eat the matzah and drink the wine. So that's the exact opposite of the first theory. The first theory says leaning is a detail of the mitzvah of matzah and a detail of the mitzvah of wine. This approach says eating matzah while leaning is a detail of the mitzvah of leaning. And in fact, that's the time where you get the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah of leaning, when you eat matzah and when you drink wine. So what's the practical difference between them? Anafkusa b'neim. So let's look at scenarios where, depending on which approach we take, they'll actually have practical differences as to how our mitzvah is or isn't fulfilled. Let's say that a person sat down at the Seder, intended to eat matzah for the purpose of the mitzvah, but did not lean. Have they fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah or not? If we go with the first approach, that leaning to the left is a critical detail of eating matzah. If you don't lean to the left while eating matzah, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of eating matzah. Okay? Now, there's a whole debate, of course, that you could have, seeing as the leaning is not mandated clearly in the Torah and it is rabbinic. Do the Rabbanan have the power to neutralize a mitzvah? I've done a mitzvah that the Torah requires to eat matzah. How can you tell me that the rabbis have the power to say that that mitzvah is disqualified because I didn't follow their recommendation to lean to the left? Okay, that is something which is discussed in great detail in other areas of halacha. Suffice to say, for our conversation, that it is possible for the Rabbanan to institute a detail within a mitzvah from the Torah that if that detail isn't fulfilled, the mitzvah of the Torah fails. So again, if leaning to the left is a fundamental detail within the mitzvah of matzah, if I don't lean to the left, I have not fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. Whereas if I go with the second approach, which says that leaning to the left while eating matzah is actually a detail of the mitzvah of leaning, so now if I eat matzah and I don't lean to the left, I have fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah because it is not contingent on leaning, and I have not fulfilled the mitzvah of exhibiting freedom through leaning, but I don't have to go back and eat matzah again. And there are going to be two practical differences, really practical differences. Let's talk about this in practical terms. Let's say that a person ate matzah without leaning to the left, and now we say that they are required, and if you have a look, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, the person is now required to eat matzah again while leaning. Okay, so you ate the matzah, but you didn't lean. Everybody agrees you now have to have more matzah and lean to the left. The question is, do you have to say the brocha al achilas matzah? Not the brocha moitzi lechem min aretz. Moitzi lechem min aretz is for the fact that you're eating matzah, regardless of how you ate it. But al achilas matzah is the brocha that you're making to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So, let's look at the two possibilities. Im achiev lachzor lechol urak bichdei lekayim mitzvah sibo av mitzvah achilas matzah kvar kim b'shleimus ein levorach shenis al achilas matzah. If the only reason I have to lean to the left now is because I did not fulfill the mitzvah of leaning, the mitzvah of matzah I was unable to fulfill, second possibility, if the mitzvah of leaning is independent of the mitzvah of matzah, so I eat matzah, I fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Now I've got to eat more matzah because I haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of leaning. I'm not going to say a brocha over that. Why would I say a brocha over the matzah again? I have already fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. Whereas, avodim chiv achila ashni urekai mitzvah achilas matzah shloikim akasher ocha blo yasiva tzorech lachzor levorech al achilas matzah. But if it is true that an incredibly important, a fundamental part of the mitzvah of matzah is that you have to lean while you're eating it, and I did not lean while I ate that matzah, well, in that case, I have not yet done the mitzvah of matzah. If I haven't yet done the mitzvah, I am now required to do the mitzvah again, which means I have to say the brocha again. Okay, so you see a practical difference. Depending on whether or not we see matzah as a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of leaning, or leaning as a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. Here's another practical difference. A little bit more of a tricky example. And you're going to see that there's some really nuanced detail of this particular example. So, as they say in the classics, halt kop, you've got to like really concentrate for this one. Okay, so here's somebody who ate a piece of matzah and did not lean to the left. So we all agree that this person now is supposed to eat another kazayis of matzah, leaning to the left. Before he gets the chance to do so, his circumstances change and he is now no longer obligated to lean. Why? Let's say, so here's the scenario. A person sitting at his seder, eats the piece of matzah, forgets to lean to the left. He says, oi, I've got to eat another kazayis of matzah, leaning to the left. As he's about to eat the next piece of matzah, his rebbe walks into the room. According to halacha, if one is sitting in front of one's rebbe, then the person does not lean to the left. So hear what happened. This person ate a piece of matzah without leaning to the left when he should have. By rights now, he is meant to repeat the process so that he can fulfill what he didn't fulfill. Only now his circumstances have changed and he is now no longer allowed to lean to the left because he's sitting in front of his rebbe. So now the question is, does he need to have another piece of matzah? That's not how it works. Im loy kim mitzachil es matzah kishokav loy asibah shetinu kilo loy yochom matzah ani mechui v'achshav mitzachil es matzah shetiyel v'shaloy v'asibah me'ach sheni mechui v'asibah ato shaloy yotzidei chayv asa adayin. If the reason I had to lean the first time around was because if you don't lean to the left, your mitzvah of matzah is cancelled, then this person has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. So therefore, this person now needs to eat another kazayis of matzah, even though he again won't lean to the left, because he can't, because his rabbi is sitting there. But the fact is, he needs matzah again. Similar to the debate that the Rebbe brings over here in the note, what happens if a person forgets to say Yale V'Yavoy on Rosh Chodesh at Mincha? So now, you don't say Yale V'Yavoy again that night, but you are meant to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei because the Shemoneh Esrei you said wasn't useful. Okay, so it's an interesting kind of halacha where the obligation you were supposed to fulfill, you did not fulfill. So therefore you have to repeat that obligation even though you can no longer fix what you missed the first time around. Hear it? So in order to fulfill, if I go with the opinion that says leaning to the left is what either qualifies or disqualifies my matzah from being a mitzvah, I didn't lean to the left, so that matzah was worth zero. I'm now required to eat matzah again, another kazayis of matzah. Okay, I'm about to eat that matzah. My rebbe walks in. I'm not allowed to lean anymore because he's now in the room. But I haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. I still have to eat a kazayis. Whereas, avlim yipam orishonu kfar kim mitzvah sachil as matzah shalo yotze techev as hasiba umi mitzvah zoya alo yopoter. But if I go with the other view, which says matzah is the way in which I fulfill leaning, so can I fulfill the mitzvah of matzah without leaning? Yes. Can I fulfill the mitzvah of leaning without matzah? Not really. I need to lean while eating matzah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of leaning. Okay, so I didn't lean when I ate matzah. Have I fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah according to this theory? Yes, I have. Have I fulfilled the mitzvah of leaning? No, I haven't. So what am I meant to do? Have another kazayis of matzah while leaning in order to fulfill the mitzvah of leaning. But now I can't lean because my rebbe's in the room. So there's no point in eating more matzah. What will it achieve? So as we see, there are very clear practical distinctions whether we define leaning as a detail of the mitzvah called achilas matzah, eating matzah at the Seder, or if we see eating matzah as a practical way to fulfill the independent mitzvah of leaning. So now that we see that there are practical differences, we have to decide which one is the correct approach. So we'll bring evidence to the one direction and then we'll bring evidence to the other direction. Let's first try and prove that leaning is a critical detail of eating matzah. In other words, if I eat matzah without leaning, I have not fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. Let's see if we can prove that. So the Gemara says in Psochim, so the Gemara says, what happens if you have a person who's a waiter at the Pesach Seder, serving everybody else, and during the course of the Seder, he also eats a kazayis of matzah? Asks the Gemara, has he fulfilled the mitzvah of eating matzah? And the Gemara says, well, if he leaned to the left at the time that he ate that matzah, then yes, he has fulfilled his obligation. And the Gemara is clear, may save in, loy may save loy, that he only fulfills the mitzvah of eating matzah if he leaned. What that would seem to imply, the mizem mashma, shekashochal matzah b'loy asiva loy yotzo yidei choivas matzah. That statement in the Gemara would appear to indicate very clearly to us that it is possible to eat matzah and not lean to the left, in which case the matzah mitzvah has not yet been fulfilled. Of course, it would be a great stretch to try and argue that this Gemara is telling us, no, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of leaning. Because it would be strange to say, if you lean, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of leaning. Well, that goes without saying. Surely the Gemara wanted to say, if you lean, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. So this would appear to be an argument in favor of saying that leaning is a critical detail to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Don't lean, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Umeferesh adava b'rosh sham, the rosh commenting on this Gemara goes into detail, and he says on a different note, but it tracks back to this example. What happens if a person is at the third or the fourth cup of wine during the Seder and now cannot remember if he leaned or not? So the Rosh wants to know. Do we make this person drink another cup of wine leaning to the left? Because now we have a different issue. Bal Toisif, that once there is a particular amount of things that you're supposed to do to fulfill a mitzvah, you're not supposed to add to those things. So if we tell this person now to drink another cup of wine, are we potentially creating a scene that it looks like he's doing five cups of wine? Remember, this person has a doubt. He's not sure, did he or didn't he lean? Says the Rosh, because there is the possibility that the one cup of wine he did not lean while drinking, that cup of wine does not count. It's as if it never happened. And therefore we can surely tell this person to have another cup of wine and lean. And so therefore it would seem to be pretty clear, both from the Gemara and from the Rosh, that if leaning did not happen while you ate the matzah, or for that matter drank the cup of wine, it's as if it never happened. So the waiter who ate a kazais or more of matzah but didn't lean to the left, it's as if he ate no matzah as far as the obligation goes, and he's got to sit down and eat another kazais of matzah while leaning. Likewise, it would appear from the Rosh that if the person drank a cup of wine without leaning, it's as if that cup of wine never happened. So that would appear as if we have a pretty solid case to say that the correct halachic approach is that leaning to the left is a critical detail that either qualifies or disqualifies eating matzah or drinking wine at the Pesach Seder. You lean, you do the mitzvah. You don't lean, you don't do the mitzvah. If we really want to apply our minds, we could even argue that this is indicated in the original Yerushalmi, a little further down, but the original chapter of the Yerushalmi that we quoted at the beginning of the Sicha. Because what does it say? It says something there. Now again, over here, again, you have to pay attention to a nuance that the language uses. What does it say? Yerushalmi, Yotzim b'matzah bein shekiven bein sheloi kiven. A person fulfills their mitzvah of eating matzah whether they had the intention of fulfilling the mitzvah or not. Now, of course, usually we expect that when a person does a mitzvah, they will actually have the correct intention. But here the Yerushalmi says that you fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah whether you had intention or not. Why? Says the Gemara, then the Yerushalmi, mekeim sheheisav cheskei kiven. That because the person leans to the left, that in itself tells us he had the correct intentions. Zoysim meres, sheyoysim mitzvah sachilas matzah, gami b'shasa achila mamash loikim l'shem mitzvah, v'atam hud, mekeven sheheisev chazoka shekimim b'tchila, el shachar kach b'shasa achila hisiach daite v'nish kho mimenu kavono zoi, v'nigra hu acha machshavto yihori yishoyno. Sounds like the Gemara is saying something very clear, that even if you have a scenario where a person did not have focused intention, I'm eating this matzah in order to do the mitzvah of eating matzah, we still consider it that they have done the mitzvah because we assume that the fact that they lean to the left, which happened right at the beginning as the first morsel of matzah was about to go in, that was an indication of intention. That showed us that they wanted to fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, if they lost their way and got distracted subsequently, that's fine because their original intention was to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, of course, logically, you can only apply that if you're pretty convinced that the person leaned to the left. So, ve'im noimar sheyotze mitzvah sachilas matzah gam belo yasibo. Mai habador sheheisev shos mekem sheheisev chulei. Now, if it is not a requirement to lean to the left in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, how could we be so clear and sure that this person did lean to the left? If the person wasn't relying on the leaning in order to fulfill the mitzvah, they may have forgotten to lean, just like they forgot to focus. If a person got distracted and forgot to focus on why they're doing this mitzvah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah, it's quite likely, and perhaps even more likely, that they forgot to lean. In which case, the Gemara over there should have said, if we don't know what the person's intentions were, then let's at least look and see if they leaned. If the person leaned to the left, then we know that his intentions were correct. If he didn't, then his intentions were incorrect. But the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, that does not say if he leaned, rather it says with confidence. So, look at how the Gemara says it. The Gemara says, he leaned. It's kind of taken for granted. And of course, if we were debating whether or not he was going to lean, you wouldn't have had to say this. So it would appear, even in the Yerushalmi, that we take for granted that people know in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you have to lean because it's a critical component of the mitzvah. And therefore, we assume that the average person does lean. Okay, it's a pilpul, it's not absolute, you can't quote it necessarily as bottom line halacha, but it certainly supports what we've already seen in the Gemara Psachim in the Bavli and in the Rosh, that it would appear if a person does not lean while eating matzah or drinking wine, that matzah and wine is disqualified. This is the argument in favor of saying that leaning is a critical component of eating matzah and drinking wine. Now, this last little pilpul piece, as we're going to see, we can argue the other way too. We know very well, for people who are familiar with the Talmud Yerushalmi, it uses very succinct language, unlike the Talmud Bavli that gets into a lot of detail. And so it is possible to say that rather than give us the whole runaround and saying, if the person leaned, it cuts to the chase and says, seeing as he leaned. In other words, of course, if you know that he leaned, then you can assume that he had the right kavanah. So that quotation from the Yerushalmi is not an absolute proof, but the quotation from the Bavli and the quotation from the Rosh both seem to indicate in favor of the argument that it's a critical component of the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of wine to lean. No leaning, no mitzvah. But we could also argue the opposite side. Now what we're going to land up with over here is two compelling arguments in favor of the opposite direction, which is that leaning is an independent mitzvah under Pesach Seder, but the way practically that you fulfill it is by eating matzah and drinking wine while leaning. At the end of this, we're going to effectively have very strong arguments in both directions, which is going to make us wonder, well, what are you supposed to do with this information? It's much more helpful when you've got a clear argument in one direction and not the other. We're going to end up with strong arguments in two directions. So now we're going to argue the opposite. That there is an independent mitzvah on the Seder night to exhibit freedom, and you do so through leaning. The practicality of it is that it means leaning when you eat matzah and drink wine. In fact, you could see it in the words of the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch that we already quoted, and likewise the same lashon is in the Rambam, where it says that if you lean during the rest of the meal, that's actually meshubach, it's praiseworthy, it's a good thing. Now, the im noimar, the cholin yonah shel asibur rak tnai boifen achilas matzah shel mitzvah v'chulei, mahu ha-shevach u-mitzvah min ha-mufchor b'mashem esu b'chol ha-seudah. If we go with the first argument, which says leaning to the left is a detail only of eating matzah in order to fulfill that mitzvah, and drinking the four cups of wine in order to fulfill that mitzvah, well then why would it be praiseworthy to lean through the rest of the meal? It's got nothing to do with matzah, it's got nothing to do with wine. You've told me that leaning is only a detail of matzah and wine, so why on earth are you telling me it's a good thing to lean during the course of the meal, unless leaning is independently worthwhile? Because if you're telling me it has no independent value, then there's no reason, logically, to lean during the meal. Therefore, so therefore, it would make a lot more sense to say that there is an independent mitzvah at the Seder night to lean to the left. That applies through the whole meal, but it's most important at the time of eating matzah and drinking wine. However, that argument has one weakness. And the weakness is, Yom Tov, like Shabbos, the Hashem Shemitzah, the Chabbos, the Shabbos, the Uncle Kach, Kol Yom Tov, Yabba, Bebosser, Bebosser, Beyayin, Megdonis, Kfir, Choltoi. When it comes to the meals of Yom Tov, similar to the meals of Shabbos, it's actually a mitzvah to have a meal and to have a fancy meal. So the meal of the Seder, the meal part, is a mitzvah. Vin ken yesh loymar, so you can argue now, Shem shesh hasibo, shitnai likuv mitzvah achilas matzah, that perhaps I could argue, just as there is a fundamental principle of eating matzah, which is you should lean while eating the matzah in order to fulfill that mitzvah, considering that the meal of Yom Tov is a mitzvah, perhaps we could say that there is just as much of a tnai le'ikuva, a critical component of the mitzvah of the meal, to lean while eating it. So in other words, it doesn't indicate necessarily that leaning is an independently valuable part of the Pesach Seder. It is a detail of the mitzvahs of the night. The main mitzvah of the night, eating matzah, so you got to lean. The rabbinic mitzvah of the night, 4 cups of wine, so you got to lean. The general mitzvah of a Seudas Yom Tov, so you got to lean. That doesn't tell me yet, absolutely, that leaning is independently a valuable mitzvah on the Pesach night. Omnom, tam achiv dasib mochiach shasib inyin bifnei atzmei. However, there's another compelling argument, an argument that sits at the core of why we lean in the first place, which makes you think that leaning to the left at the Pesach Seder actually should be an independent, standalone mitzvah. We're going to see both in the Rambam's language and in the Alter Rebbe's language. That there's an obligation on every single one of us at the Pesach Seder, in every single generation, wherever we might be in the course of history, there's a personal obligation for us to show as though we left Egypt ourselves now. Lefichach, key word, lefichach, therefore, therefore, says the Rambam, when a person eats and drinks during the course of the night, you have to lean to show that liberation. In other words, the language is not that it's part of the mitzvah, which applies generically to every Yom Tov, a mitzvah of having a beautiful meal. And in this case, in order to fulfill that mitzvah, you have to lean. Rather, the Rambam is saying, you have to lean because the theme of the night is to show, I left Mitzrayim, therefore I'm leaning. So if the Rambam is saying that there is a theme, and the Alter Rebbe says the same thing, there is a theme why you have to show and express freedom this night, because you have to show that you left Mitzrayim. And by the way, the Rambam doesn't commonly do that and say, therefore, this is a reason we do something. The fact that the Rambam is giving a reason over here is very strong. It's a very strong argument that there is a theme independently of the mitzvahs of the night, mitzvah of matzah, mitzvah of wine, mitzvah of a Seudas Yom Tov. There's an independent theme of freedom. And where do you show and exhibit that theme? When you lean to the left. Ah, that tells me that there's an independent mitzvah to lean to the left. So now we seem to have two very strong arguments that go in opposite directions. One argument that shows us, based on halachic principles, that it sounds like leaning to the left is really a critical detail to the other mitzvahs of the night, specifically matzah and wine. And on the other hand, we have a strong argument that says that leaning to the left is an independent mitzvah that has its own parameters. So which one is it? And so therefore we should argue actually that leaning at the Pesach Seder has two components to it. One element of leaning is Aleph Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. There's an element of leaning to the left at the Pesach Seder which is its own standalone mitzvah. And in addition to that base, Tanai B'Mitzvah Zachidas Matzah V'chulei, it is equally also a fundamental component of the mitzvahs of eating matzah and drinking wine on the night. So, when you eat matzah, or for that matter, when you drink wine, while leaning to the left, you actually fulfill two things. Firstly, you're now doing the mitzvah of matzah and wine correctly, and you are also doing the independent mitzvah of leaning and showing freedom. So from the perspective of the mitzvah of leaning to the left, the primary place where you express that mitzvah, where you really have to do it, eating matzah and drinking wine. But from the perspective of the fact that leaning to the left is an independent mitzvah, to express an overarching theme of freedom and that I left Egypt, that can spill over and can even be expressed beyond the matzah and beyond the wine. And that would be hidur mitzvah, it'd be a better way of doing the mitzvah. Meshubach, you'd be praiseworthy. And that's if you'd lean during the rest of the meal too. So both are true. There's a component of leaning that is independent of matzah and wine. And there's a component of leaning that is critical to fulfill the mitzvahs of matzah and wine. With that in mind, we can go back and understand the nuances of elements that we've discussed and raised about the Alter Rebbe's quotation in the Shulchan Aruch. Now we can understand the flow of how the Alter Rebbe put the halachas. The first thing the Alter Rebbe taught us, very much like the Rambam, is that there's an overarching theme this night of Pesach to show that we are free, that we personally experience the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore whatever we can do this night, showing and exhibiting Cheirus, we should. At that point in time, what are we saying? That leaning to the left and expressing liberation, freedom, is an independent, klolos, generalized theme of Pesach, and it's not limited only to matzah and wine. And then later on, then the Alter Rebbe goes into the details of which elements within the Pesach Seder require leaning. Because what he explained originally gave us the generalized sense that generally at the Pesach Seder you should express freedom and you do so by leaning. Now he's drilling down. Now the Alter Rebbe gets to the second point of why we lean. You lean in order to fulfill in critical details of eating matzah and drinking wine. You'll notice that the language of the Alter Rebbe, when he concludes the discussion about matzah and wine, he says, they require leaning. Those mitzvahs require leaning because those mitzvahs are specific mitzvahs that exhibit, as we're still going to see, they exhibit the theme of cheirus, the theme of freedom, more so than the general theme of freedom, which is through the whole night of the Seder. They specifically express freedom, and therefore they require leaning. If they don't have leaning, they are not fulfilling their mitzvah, and you've got to do it again. Vatan. Because these particular elements, eating matzah, and the three times of matzah, korech, afikoyman, and the cups of wine, they are all specifically intended to express the theme of geula, of freedom. So the point over here is that their theme, their purpose, why do we have matzah? Why do we have wine? To express freedom. Well, if you're going to express freedom, you cannot do it without leaning, because leaning is the message of freedom. So if there's no leaning during the matzah and wine, they haven't done their job. They are the specific elements of the Pesach Seder to express freedom, so they have to have leaning, which is the symbol of freedom. And then he proves it. וממשיך לו יחיח בהדגוש שעתם בשחס הדלת קויסס, שהדלת קויסס פתינך חומן כנגד דלת השני שגיעו לאמורים בפרשה סבוערה. To prove his point, the Alter Rebbe says, look at the four cups of wine, which were specifically chosen to reflect the four expressions of Geula in Parashas Va'era. You see, Geula is telling us, this is the theme. This is why we have cups of wine. And if their theme is Geula, then naturally you have to lean. Otherwise, you're not expressing Cheiros. You're not expressing that Geula at the time you're having this wine. And he dafka emphasizes that it's the expressions of Geula as they are in Parashas Va'era. Why? First of all, the Alter Rebbe wants us to know there are different reasons offered why we have four cups of wine. None of those reasons expresses the theme of Geula like this particular reason, that the four cups correspond to the four expressions of Geula. Well, that tells me really clearly that their theme is Geula. So, connected to Galat Dalat Koshal Paroi, connected to Dalat Malchus, connected to Koshal Puronish, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, as you saw Dalat Koshal Nechames, Shalachole Latayma, Dalat Koshal Nechal Gula Becheres Shal Yisrael. Whichever one of these four you look at, they do not express that theme of the Geula of going out of Mitzrayim. The four cups of Paroi are what we call Goyrem le Goyrem. It was a cause of what eventually caused that Yosef should eventually come into power, which should eventually cause Yaakov to come down to Mitzrayim. It's like a whole bunch of steps before the actual Geula. The four exiles, well, that's clearly not a theme of Geula. And the thought of the four cups at the time of Mashiach is a future Geula. So which one expresses the Geula of Pesach, which is the theme of the night? V'hitzesi v'itzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti. Ulefihem. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe wants us to know, if we were to rely on any of the other explanations for why we have four cups of wine, none of them would be able to explain to us why it is required to lean when you have the four cups of wine. But because we're choosing the explanation of the four expressions of Geula, that helps us to know that the theme of the four cups of wine is to express Geula. And how do you express Geula? Well, we have a general theme of expressing Geula through leaning to the left, which was introduced even before we got into these details. So now we know, if the theme of the night is to express Cheiros, freedom, and you express Cheiros by leaning to the left, then definitely when you get to the four cups of wine, which are there to represent four modes of Geula, four expressions of Geula, you definitely have to lean to the left at that point in time in order to carry that theme through. It's for this reason that the Alter Rebbe felt it necessary to tell us that these expressions of Geula are mentioned in Parashas Va'era. He didn't refer to Parashas Va'era as a source, rather as a clarification. Because what's he wanting to clarify for us? That now that we know that the four cups correspond to the four expressions of Geula, we understand why you have to lean for the four cups. Mishum shalashoynes eila amurim bepashas vayirisham du bepashas zoyu begulasim vitziyosim shal bnei yisom imitzrayim or kenegdon tiknu dalet koisus beleil ha-geula. That's why the Alter Rebbe wants us to know that it's Parashas Va'era, because that drives the message home clearly. Oh, Parashas Va'era, of course. That's where we have the four expressions of Geulas Mitzrayim, which tonight commemorates, which is why we have four cups of wine, which is why you have to lean, because leaning is an expression of Geula. Whereas all the other potential reasons to have four cups of wine are not clearly linked to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what have we got at this point in time? We have an understanding that there is a theme called Cheirus, which is an overriding theme of the Pesach Seder, and it is expressed in leaning. Leaning any time during the meal would be good. It is specifically expressed when you lean while eating matzah or drinking wine, because those are the specific components that are designed to express the theme of Geula. Why is that the case? Well, we see it very clearly in the story of the four cups of wine, because the four cups of wine reflect the four expressions of Geula at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it is now clear to us. But there's one question. What's the one question? Sharei Tzorich Lishtois Adal Koisos Al HaSeder Dehainish Ben Kois Rishon L'Sheni Ben Shlishi L'Revi Yafsik Ba'Amiris HaGoda Va'Halil Ben Sheni L'Shlishi Yafsik Ba'Achilas Matzah Brichas HaMozon. We know that the halacha requires that the four cups are done in a very particular order. Between the first and second cup, you tell the Haggadah. Second and third cup, you have the meal and you bench. And then after that, you have halal v'hidoya. V'hainu, l'fisha kol kois tikna al-davar miyuchot. So that implies that each cup, and it's one of the reasons you say an independent brocha over each cup of the four cups of wine, each one has its own personal theme. D'mizeh mashma, now hang on. Our entire argument is predicated on the idea that the four cups of wine are the theme of Geula. Yet when you look at it, it appears that each cup of wine has a theme independently of Geula that it expresses. And if that's the case, then there goes our argument that says the four cups of wine are specifically because of the four elements of Geula. They're not. They're the four elements of Geula plus, apparently, four other issues, ideas, concepts, themes. So to clarify that issue, to tackle that issue, the Alter Rebbe changed the order in which the four expressions of Geula are quoted. In a different order to how they are in the Pasuk. Why did he do it? Because the Alter Rebbe wanted to reflect the four cups of wine and the order in which they appear to illustrate to us that all four cups of wine are clearly themes of Geula. Let's see how that works. The first cup of wine is Kiddush. Kiddush has the expression Zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the word v'hoitzesi. So the first cup of wine, although it is the wine of Kiddush, it is the theme of Geula. What theme of Geula? V'hoitzesi. I'll take you out. Koish sheni kor lavasa God of Achidus Mitzvahs Mitzrayim shebelel Pesach al Mitzvahs Mitzrayim shebechol Yom Hu shebelel Pesach tzorich liyosip et dvarim barichus v'bir. So what's v'go'alti, the second one that he quotes? So he says, v'hitzeisi v'go'alti. What's v'go'alti? The in-depth story of Geula that you have to tell over the second cup of wine, which is the cup of the Haggadah. Unlike every other day of the year where we have a mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we've got to briefly remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, the detail of Pesach is unique. And that's v'go'alti, and we use psukim verses in that story which talk about Geula, and we conclude with a bracha, v'chos mi bracha, asher go'alnu v'go'al es aviseinu chulei, baruch ato Hashem, go'al Yisrael, theme of Geula, related specifically to the word v'go'alti. Then koish lishi, what's the third cup of wine? That's the cup of benching. Part of the benching is to thank Hashem for giving us the Torah. If you don't mention that part of the benching, you have not fulfilled your obligation. That theme of the Torah is velokachti. That's where Hashem says, I will now take you as my nation. And as we know very well, at the burning bush, Hashem says to Moshe, the whole purpose of Geula, of going out of Mitzrayim, is what? Tavdan esroi lekim alo hor hazeh, that you should be able to serve Hashem and be dedicated at Har Sinai at the time of receiving the Torah. So velokachti is also a theme of Geula. The theme that the purpose of Geula is to get us to the point of receiving the Torah. And the fourth cup is reserved for Hallel and various songs of praise to Hashem. That is focused on the future Geula with Mashiach, which is why we introduce that section. Pour your wrath on the Goyim. This refers to the word vehitzalti, which is used broadly. The Eibishter doesn't say clearly what he's going to save us from. It's left open-ended, and that speaks directly to the theme of Mashiach, because we don't know what's going to happen at the time of Mashiach. The Rambam tells us very clearly in Hilchos Melachim, we don't know what it's going to look like until it's going to happen. So what's the Alter Rebbe done for us by mixing up the order of the words? He's associated each Lashon of Geula with a specific theme of one of the cups of wine at the Seder. So we should no longer think, hey, each of the cups of wine has an independent theme besides the theme of Geula. On the contrary, he's going to emphasize for us that each cup at the Seder is dafka the theme of Geula. And so the Alter Rebbe has made it absolutely clear to us that the overarching, very clear, absolute theme of each of the four cups of wine is the theme of Geula. If that is the theme of Geula, then that explains to you why you have to lean to the left while you're having those cups of wine, because leaning to the left is the theme of Geula. And now we've kind of pieced the whole thing together, and we understand that on the Pesach night, there's a general theme of freedom and Geula and Cherus, which you represent by leaning to the left, which you could do at any time, and if you do it more, Harei Zeh Meshubach, but the most important time to express it is when you do things at the Seder that are on the theme of Geula, namely Matzah and the four cups of wine, and specifically the four cups of wine, because they express the four expressions of Geula, each of which ties into the unique part of the Seder that cup represents, which is now clear to us, an overarching theme of Geula. That's all from the perspective of Halacha. Now let's look at it from the perspective of Chassidus. We're going to look at the two different orders, the way it's said in the Torah, and yet the way that the Alter Rebbe puts it, which is in a different order. What's the difference between them in a spiritual sense? The Alter Rebbe explains that there are four levels of teshuva alluded to in the Pasuk in Tehillim that says, veer from evil, do good, pursue peace, seek peace and pursue it. What are the four levels of teshuva? Sumera is shelo yifkoim b'avon yizgash b'machshav dibra ma'isev tzorech lasis teshuva lischaret ala avar v'lakir sotzoyni min orachulei shelo yirtze liparim yichud v'achdus yizborech. Surmeira, get away from the bad. Get away from the practical, actual bad things that you did. Regret them and get to a point you never want to disconnect yourself from Hashem ever again. So, if you're not disconnected from Hashem, what are you having instead? You're having Hashem revealed in your world, in your reality, but at a level that is called memalei kol olmin, which means a level of elikus, which is relatable in this world. That's level one of tshuva. Re-engaging with Hashem at a level that is relatable in this world. Next level, Vasei Toiv. Hatshuva al Shumamait b'mitzvah Vasei Toiv liyageh satsum b'teiro tefila. Uchdeish yasa tshuva shismala gam ho'er shechosu b'mitzvah mitzvah Vasei al zeh tzorech lasis tshuva atzumo lehiskashu lidovik b'shem avay shuhu tzoyv kolom b'mchinas makif. Then you have a next level called Asei Toiv, which is to catch up on the things that I may not have done, to be able to replace the missing light I should have brought into the world, which I didn't bring into the world, so I missed the opportunity to do various mitzvahs. The only way you can replace light that wasn't brought into the world is you have to reach what is called Soveiv Kol Olmin, a level of godliness which is beyond relatable to this world. It's beyond the concept of this world. Both of those fit into the generic category called the lower kind of teshuva, connecting either to memale kol omin, relatable godliness, or sovev kol omin, transcendent godliness. Then you have bakish shalom, hu b'chinas teshuva ilo, shehu al yidei ha-teira shemesim shalom b'famalia shemayla v'shamayla v'shamayla shalmata. And then you get to Bakei Shalom. Shalom is a key word. Shalom means peace and harmony. And the idea of Shalom, that is Tshuva Ilah, a supernal kind of Tshuva, which is achieved through Torah, because Torah causes peace in the higher and the lower realms. When a person reaches Tshuva Ilah, the higher dimension of Tshuva, then you connect to Hashem's essence, which is not only beyond the relatable godliness, but even beyond the transcendent godliness. Hashem, as He is beyond Memalei Kol Olmin and beyond Sovev Kol Olmin. V'yesh Bozeh, Beis Pchinas, that also has two elements to it, because it's achieved through Torah, and Torah has two major elements, Keneged Nigla de Torah or Pnimius HaTorah, the revealed parts of Torah and the esoteric parts of Torah. V'hinam Evor Bo'irah Torah. So the Alter Rebbe explained to us that there are four levels of teshuva, and then later on the Tzemach Tzedek comes and tells us that the four expressions of the four types of teshuva are reflected in the four cups at the Pesach Seder, which implies, obviously, because we know the four cups at the Seder correspond to the four expressions of Geula, so it must then be that the four expressions of Geula line up with the four types of Tshuva. The first part of Tshuva is what? Getting away from the bad. That's the expression. Hashem says, I'll take you out of Mitzrayim. I'll take you out of the bad, toxic environment. The next level, Vihit Salti, I will rescue you, actually comes from the word tzel, which is a shadow or something that protects you, a canopy, as it says in the Navi Yeshaya. That refers to Sovev Kol Olmin, the divine element that is beyond us, transcends us, and all encompasses us, and we achieve that through doing mitzvahs. That's the level called Asei Tov. Then, Hashem says, I will redeem you. How do you get redeemed through Torah? Like the Gemara famously tells us that a person who studies Torah is free, in the truest sense of being free. And that's specifically through the revealed part of Torah. And then, Velokachti Eschem Li Le'om. And then you get to the ultimate level, which is Hashem says, I'm taking you to me, real connection, the deepest connection, a connection that is immutable, a connection that can never be lost. That is achieved through Pnimius HaTorah, through the deepest part of the Torah. Now you get the order. The order makes sense. First, v'hoitzeisi, sur meira. Then, v'hitzalti, asei toiv. Then, v'goalti, bakeshalem. Then, v'lokachti, which is rodfehu. In other words, it's four levels of teshuva from the bottom up, expressed by four expressions of geula that actually go from the bottom up. Amnom. Now the question you have to ask is, there are two approaches within Torah, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, out of the two approaches in Torah, which one takes priority? Limud, learning, or maise, action? Very famous debate in the Gemara, which is more important, learning or doing? So, as we've just seen, if learning is the ultimate state, so you start with action, and you graduate to learning Torah and eventually learning Pnimius HaTorah, so the order makes sense. But but if the ultimate hamaisa hu ha'ikar, if the main thing is what you do, then the highest state is vihitzalti, because vihitzalti relates to asei toiv, what you do. So first you get rid of what's bad, then you learn and learn and learn and learn until eventually you get to asei toiv, to absolutely doing what Hashem wants, which is the highest level. וזה יבור טעם הסידר של הדל דשיינס בשוכנור חד מרזוקן ושינוי מהסידר שהם כסובים בתוירו. That helps us to understand why the order as it is presented in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch is different to the order as it is represented in the Pasuk. When I'm looking at Torah Shebichsav, or even the Gemara, which is not necessarily talking halacha lemaise, bo b'chinas v'goalti v'lokachti shu'unyan ha'Torah kenal b'achroino ki mitzad ha'Torah atzma murgeshes u'murgeshes ma'ilas ha'Torah. So there, what is the ultimate state? Torah learning. So what goes last? In other words, what is the ultimate level that you reach? V'go'alti v'lokachti, the elements of Torah learning. Ulam b'shulchan aruch admor hazokn sheshayach l'chelek halacha v'apsakdim v'ma'aseh shebetorah, harachroi shamaiseh hu ha'iker, hu yisrein ha'umailas ha'maiseh v'lochein bo b'achron v'itzalto shein ha'maiseh kenal. But the Alter Rebbe is speaking the language of Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch is not about the limud, learning the details, the sources, the arguments, the philosophy. It's about the ma'aseh. What do you do practically? Ah, hamaisa hu aiker. So what comes at the end? What comes at the top? Vehitzalti. So in the pasuk it's vehitzesi, vehitzalti, vegoalti, velokachti surmeira, asei tov, and then two levels of learning Torah. But in Shulchan Aruch, which speaks about the maila, the greatness of action, then what do we say? Vehitzesi surmeira, vegoalti, velokachti, the levels of learning Torah, and then vehitzalti, the ultimate. How do you apply it in action? And then there's another angle and perspective on this. Is it a pre Chaim Shadad Lakesis and connected to our Bonim? Shaifin Sidurim Hu Chochom Rosha Tam Vishene Deli Shaol. In pre Chaim, he explains that the four cups of wine correspond to the four sons and in the order in which they appear, Chochom Rosha Tam and Shaine Deli Shaol, which in turn represents of a Seder Ha'olamos Atzilus Asiya Bria Yitzira. The Chochom corresponds to Atzilus. The Rasha to Asiya, the Tom to Bria, she'en yodeh lishol to Yitzir. V'alderech zeh seida adalat koisus. And that also explains the order in which we drink the four cups of wine. Kois alef shol kiddush k'neged atzilis. The first cup of wine is kiddush, such a supernal declaration of Hashem, that's atzilis. Kois beis is sipra agodesh onim mitchila hoyoiv David Zora, lochen omer Rasha k'neged Asiya chulei. Then we go through the story of the Haggadah, which includes Maschil Bignus. We start with all the deep, dark secrets of our early history. That's the Rasha, that's Oilam Asiya. Kois Gimel Brich Samozim Bibriya. Then we get to Benching, which is the level of Bria. And Kois Dalib Yetzirah Chulei. Then the last part, which is Shevach Vahidah, praise of Hashem, which is Yetzirah. But Pizan into the Seder Shaladalib Lashen Yeshagulah by Tzeis Vitzad of God Velokachti, Shem Seder Akaisis, Hu Atzilus Asiya Bria Yetzirah. So therefore, we have now said that the order of the four cups of wine corresponds to the order of the four expressions of Geula in the Torah, which is the same order as the four sons. First Atzilus, then Asiya, then Bria, then Yetzir. Now obviously the question is, why do you put the Rasha right next to the Chochem? Surely the Rasha belongs at the end. The Chacham is the most supernal of all of them, and the Chacham, the Rasha is the lowest of the low. Why do we do that? We dafka want the Rasha near the Chacham because the Chacham is the only one who could impact him, the only one who could bring him back. And it's for exactly the same reason that Atzilus has to be next to Asiya, because the only one that can awaken and excite and reveal in Asiya is Atzilus. You need a huge, powerful light in order to affect, impact, and elevate the lowest world. So therefore, when you go through the order of the Haggadah, which is all about speaking to your child, where the objective is to influence and impact all of the four children, including the Rasha, then you've got to have a particular order, and that particular order has to be Chacham followed by Rasha, so you can have an impact, because the goal of the Seder is to impact every child, including the Rasha. So that's the order of the sons. which influences the order of the cups, which reflects the order of the expressions of Geula. Amnon b'shulchan aruch admar azokan moin oisim lifim ma'ilos ma'api shulchan aruch ma'api zeh aseid v'dala d'bonim u'chochem tam sheni yodeh lishol rosho v'seid ha'koses v'hitzeis v'gat v'lkath v'yitzalti. Whereas the Alter Rebbe is not talking about a Haggadah, the Alter Rebbe is talking about Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, this is the Halacha. The Halacha is that the correct order, the correct hierarchy, is that the Rosh is at the bottom. The Chacham is at the top and the Rosh is at the bottom. So he changes the order of the words, of the expressions of Geula, to highlight the fact that according to Halacha, Rosh is at the bottom. Ksiv Kimei Tzeis Chomeret Mitzrayim Marenin Iflois, very famous pasuk that says that Hashem will show us miracles in the time of Mashiach, which are similar to the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. By our impact and efforts on every one of the four children, including the Rasha, until each one of them becomes bonim atem Hashem lekeichem, like Hashem's children in the most revealed way. That will help us to be able to be zoiche, to see all four expressions of Geula in our Geula, and the four cups that are going to be poured out for Nechama, for comfort for the Jewish people, and should all happen in Mitzvah Hashem, tekef umiyad mamash.